You may be seated.
Our next case is 14-563, State of Ohio versus Edward South. For the appellant, Ms. DiMartino.
Madam Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court, I'm Heaven DiMartino on behalf of the State of Ohio, the appellant. I apologize. I would ask to reserve 3 minutes. The state is asking that this court reverse the decision of the 9th District Court of Appeals and hold that when a defendant is convicted of an OVI and a specification pursuant to 2941.1413, Ohio's OVI statute prevails rather than Ohio's general sentencing statute set forth in 2929.14. Therefore, under 4511.19(g)(1)(e)(i), a 5-year sentence would be permissible for a person who is convicted of an OVI with the specification for 5 conviction in 20 years under 2941.1413.
Is this necessary for us to choose between one or the other, or is there some way to read them in pari materia to make sense out of it?
The state would argue that these statutes can be read together because 2929.14a, which after House Bill 86 reduced the felony 3 prison sentence from 5 years to 3 years, enumerated specific offenses, which were offenses of violence, such as aggravated vehicular assault, aggravated vehicular homicide, sexual offenses like sexual battery, and repeat burglary and repeat robbery offenses, which are offenses that pose a danger to the public and do not have a specific sentencing provision in the statute that addresses each of those. So 2914A3B is not applicable in this situation, but 2929.14B4 still notes that an OVI, if it's a felony 3, should be sentenced under 2929.13G2, which provides that an OVI spec with the specification can have a prison sentence from 1 to 5 years. Similarly, 4511.19G1EI provides that a 5-year sentence is applicable for an OVI with the specification under 2941.1413.
Let me slow you down 1 second. You said 14B4 provides a sentence of 1 to 5 for a felony 3. Did I hear that correctly?
It refers to 2929.13G2 for an F3 OVI.
Okay.
And then 2929.13G2 provides that an OVI with the specification under 2941.1413 can have a sentence in prison from 1 to 5 years.
All right.
So the state would argue that 2929.13G2 and 4511.19G1EI can be read together. Therefore, the state would disagree with the decisions of the appellate court in Owen and May, which those two cases, Owen out of the 11th and May out of the 2nd, did not address the specification in 2941.1413. The state would argue that the 12th District in State versus Sturgill and State versus Mercier were, their analysis was accurate, that the statutes do not conflict, that when there is a specific sentencing provision in a specific statute, that that should prevail over any general sentencing provision.
That's what I asked you. Mm-hmm. You suggested the OVI should prevail, specific over general, but you're also arguing, I guess, as a secondary position, that they can be read together. Do I understand your argument correctly?
Correct. If the legislature had intended to reduce the OVI felony 3 penalty from an F5 to an F3 as part of the changes in House Bill 86, which was effective September 30th, 2011, it could have revised 4511.19, and it could have revised 2929.13G2. It did not do so. However, the legislature at that time did amend the domestic violence statute 2919.25 so that a felony 3 domestic violence, which is for a person with 2 or more convictions of a domestic violence, that in those situations for that F3 domestic violence, the sentence should be pursuant to 2929.14, clearly indicating that the legislature wanted to amend that specific provision from 5 years to 3 years. However, it left the OVI statute as it was. There's also Ohio appellate case law that has shown that trial courts are not limited only to the terms in 2929.14 Other courts have looked at cases with OVIs and said that the courts are allowed to impose a sentence in excess of the general provisions, including State versus Mayer out of the 3rd District, State versus Kearney, State versus McDonald out of the 8th, and State versus Puget. All have indicated that there is no prohibition for the trial courts to exceed the limitations of 29-29-14 if that provision is there in the specific statute of 45-11-19. So the state would argue that when a statute such as 45-11-19 specifically authorizes a prison term, the sentencing court is not limited to impose just the general sentencing provision set forth in 29-29-14. Again, there are three other cases pending after this court accepted South, which are Sturgill, Mercer, and Henstey. Two of those cases fall in line with the 12th District's opinion in Mercer, obviously Sturgill and Mercer there, and then Henstey has a different opinion. The state would also note that in South, the court sua sponte looked at this issue. The parties did not have an opportunity to address it, and the decision is not doesn't have a thorough analysis of how the court came to its conclusion. It just basically stated that the statute was in conflict and the court erred in applying.
So the conflict is between the 9th and the 12th districts.
The 9th and the 12th district.
And you suggested there's a number of others pending. Mm-hmm. What districts are they from?
Mercer is from the 12th. Wiederman is from the 11th. Henstey is from the 12th. And then there were cases decided prior to South, but those were not part of the conflict cases. But that's Owen, May, and Sturgill also. Owen from the 11th, May from the 2nd, and Sturgill from the 12th.
So the only conflict is in the 9th?
Correct.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Whitney.
Thank you, Your Honor. Chief Justice, Justices, I'm Larry Whitney on behalf of Ed South. Justice O'Donnell, I think you hit the nail on the head here. The question is, can you, are these inconsistent statutes, number one, is one a general, is one a specific, as you know, that kicks in the protocols regarding statutory construction? I don't know how, and maybe I'm oversimplifying this, and it's probably something that I'm trying to do, the statute says, now 40, let me start all over again. I think we all agree that we got to get to what is the manifest intent of the legislature in this case. I think that's where we begin. And I think to begin with that, we have to look at House Bill 86. That's the 29-14 is a creature of House Bill 86. House Bill 86 reformed all of our, not all of our statutes, but particularly the F3s, the F4s, and the F5s. It reduced, as we see here, the F5 penalty from 60 months to 36 months. Juvenile system, the judicial release, theft thresholds, drug thresholds, the fourth and fifth degree presumptions regarding incarceration versus community control. The alternate confinement in misdemeanors. The whole purpose of House Bill 86 was to reduce sentences.
But counsel, if we look, let's start that over here.
Okay.
If we look then specifically at 29-29-14A, the first phrase is, except as provided in Division B4 of this section. And then if you go to B4, it allows for a 5-year prison term where there are certain specifications.
Correct.
So what am I missing?
You're missing, what we are missing is the repeat DUI offender statute. We're missing that there. What it says is for there shall be a 60-month penalty for the following crimes. What being aggravated vehicular homicide, aggravated vehicular assault, but the court looked at two repeat offender, number 6 and 7 in that section, are the burglary and the robberies. The court looked at repeat offenders and decided that those deserved the 60-month sentence. Okay. Then it goes on to say in section B, for a felony of the third degree that is not an offense for which A3A of this section applies, the prison term shall be 9, 12, 18, 24, 30, 30 36 months. So if the legislature wanted the DUI repeat offender to receive 60 months, it should have put him in there.
Well, didn't it put it there by saying except as provided in Division B4?
Well, I don't agree with that. I mean, I'm sorry. I think that we have to, particularly when you look at what I'm asking you to do, and that's the reason why I came here through the snow, was to ask this court to look at House Bill 86 and the purposes of House Bill, and what House Bill 86 did, which this statute is a creature of. The state wants you to apply House Bill 86 as increasing a penalty here. House Bill 86 meant to reduce penalty, not to increase penalty.
What if it meant to, but it didn't?
Then that's life. Then they better go change it in the other building over there.
Well, I agree with you that that's life. But if what we're stuck with is the specific language, and the specific language says, except as provided in, and we can go to that other section, and that's where you get the five-year sentence as opposed to a three, are we not stuck with it? I mean, I think you've answered my question.
Yes.
You would rather not read in that except clause.
Well, that, and I think looking at 29.29.14 is what I'm looking at specifically, and that in light of the House Bill 86, and secondly, the protocols for lenity, for instance, under 29.01.04, requiring this court and every court to apply statutes strictly construed against the state in favor of the defendant, and secondly, 1.5.
When you look at Section A3A under 14, there's a listing of third-degree felonies that are to be potentially up to 60 months, and there's a listing of 2903.06, 08, and so on that seem to be violent offenses. We don't see 4511.19 listed there either. Is that a secondary position that you
have?
Yes,
sir. That's the theory upon which I am arguing this case. And then on section 3B, it says that if it's not listed there, then it's the maximum penalty is 36 months. The fact that it may be somewhere else in the code is irrelevant. This is the sentencing structure for felony threes. And if the legislature did not exempt it, then that's the way it goes.
Do you argue at all that this is ambiguous currently, so that the rule of lenity should apply, or is that not even before us?
I think the rule of lenity should apply. I think these are both specific statutes because it carves out an exceptions. It makes it, as well as to answer Justice O'Connell's question, I think there are both specific statutes. I think we have to take the latest statute in time. I think if we look to all of the statutory construction protocols that we have, I think it points to the fact that the F3 DUI is the penalty should be 36 months.
Counsel, you're suggesting, I guess, that you're saying that HB 86 had as its intention to reduce sentences, but in some cases it increased sentences.
It did.
Can I understand your argument, though? You're saying that you think that the legislature, by looking at homicide and assault charges, that we may assume they were aware that there were repeat OVI sentences, yes. And if they spoke with specificity, they would have put it in there.
Correct. And they also looked at, my point is, under the 6th and 7th exemptions under that statute, the robbery and the burglary, they did look at repeat offender specifications and decided that those two repeat offender specifications merited a 60-month sentence. So they obviously were looking at repeat offenders. And why did they pass this up? I don't know, but it's not in the statute.
So basically your argument is these statutes are in conflict, they're irreconcilable, and so therefore you go to 1.52 and say later in time prevails.
That and the fact that lenity requires this court and every court to construe them strictly against the state. Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel?
Just briefly, the state would argue that these statutes are not in conflict. When you read them together, you can see that the legislative intent for House Bill 86 was to reduce many of the felony three sentences, but not all of them. While the legislature...
It doesn't exclude this one from that list.
It does not. And A3A lists certain violent offenses as well as repeat burglaries and robberies, as Attorney Whitney indicated, but those specific offenses that were listed to still have a felony five were ones where those particular statutes do not have a specific sentence penalty scheme within it like the OVI statute does. And the legislature clearly could have excluded the OVI specifically and rewritten the OVI statute and rewritten 29.
But they didn't do that.
But they did not do that. But they did it for the domestic violence statute. So we know the legislature knew how to do it, but they chose not to for the OVI.
And so you think that's your best argument, that they're not in conflict because they weren't addressed in 86?
They weren't addressed, and you can read the statutes together, because 2914B specifically says unless it's a felony three OVI with a specification, and this is. And under that, then you look at G2, which says that it's a five-year sentence, which is consistent with 4511.19G1EI. Therefore, the state would argue that these are not in conflict, that in order to effectuate the legislative intent for penalties for a OVI with the specification, that these statutes should either be read together, or this court should hold that 4511.19, because it has specific sentencing provisions, should prevail. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. We will take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decision. Thank you.